I want you to take your Bible, your iPad, your iPhone, whatever you have, to James chapter 1, verse 5. If you don't have any of that, the scriptures are on the screens. James chapter 1, I'm going to read 5 verses with you. This is what the Bible says. James is a servant of God. Now keep in mind, if it had been me, I would have probably said, James, by the way, the Lord Jesus Christ is brother. That's what I would have said, but that's not what he said. He said, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or divers trials, knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her good work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I want to take a little while, and I want to talk to you about why Christians have trials. Why Christians have trials. I have pastored 3 churches. I pastored a church called Mountain Crest Church. I was 17 years old. The pastor of that church, God bless those poor people's hearts. The second church I pastored was a church called Sweeten Hill Church in Colmont, Tennessee. I was their pastor for 3 years. I've often said I probably would still be there. I only stayed 3 years. I left there for health reasons. The deacons got sick of me, so I left. And I remember the Sunday I resigned. I don't know that I did it properly, but I resigned the church nevertheless. And I was standing back at the door, and there was one lady that came, and she was just hysterical. I knew she loved me. I guess I didn't know she loved me that much, but she was just crying hysterically. And she said, Brother Benny, this is so sad. And I said, no. We've got to trust the sovereignty of God. God's going to work all this out. God's got it all in his hands. I said, you know, you never know. In God's plan, God may even send you a better pastor. She said, that's what they all have said, but they just keep getting worse and worse and worse. Well, sometimes it seems like life just gets worse and worse and worse. I remember reading Charlie Brown one time, and Charlie Brown said, my team always loses. Now, I can relate to Charlie Brown being a Tennessee Vol fan, but Charlie Brown said, my team always loses. And, you know, everybody has to have somebody to encourage them. And if you'll remember, Charlie Brown had Lucy. And Lucy walked up to Charlie Brown, and she said, now, Charlie Brown, you've got to learn. You've got to understand. We learn more from our defeats than we do from our wins. And Charlie Brown said, if we learn more from our defeats than we do from our wins, I must be the smartest man in the world. Well, sometimes it seems like in life that we do lose. But the Bible says, count it all joy when you experience trials. Now, I researched that word trials in the Greek, which is the New Testament was written in Greek. It means multicolored. Kind of like, you know, sometimes you have a blue Monday. Sometimes you get a pink slip. Sometimes your checking account is in the red. Multicolored. And I realized something. Trials come in all types of colors. Sometimes you go to the doctor and you don't get a good report. Sometimes the maid is not faithful. And sometimes drugs are a part of every family's life. And sometimes death happens even though we pray. And sometimes we don't get the promotion, we get the demotion. And sometimes we love God and we're a good friend, but we're still betrayed by that friend. And sometimes abuse happens in our life. Somebody said, Pastor, if you come to know Christ, it's all wonderful from that point on. It's no more problems, no more trials. You always get good reports. You always have plenty of money, and everything's always going to go wonderful. But folks, I want you to see what Jesus said in John. Jesus said, "These things have I spoken to you, that in me you might have peace." Notice what he said. He said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. Now you said, as long as you're in the world, folks, you said, well, I don't want any tribulation. Well, you need to know Jesus and exit this world. You need to know Jesus and exit this world. Because as long as you're in this world, you're going to have trials, you're going to have tribulations, you're going to have hardships. But the Bible teaches us, folks, and what we need, let me tell you, the older I get, let me tell you what we need. We don't need all the bells and whistles of life. By the way, we don't need all the bells and whistles of church. What we need is to worship God. What we need is to worship God, ladies and gentlemen. And then what we need is the Word of God. Because, see, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but it's the Word of God that's going to stand forever. And it's the Word of God that you can stand upon. Now here's what I want you to understand. The Bible says in James 1 and 2, it says, "Count it all joy when you fall into divers trials." According to James 1 and 2, every time you have a trial, it's an opportunity for joy in your life. Every time you have a trial, it's an opportunity for joy. But I believe this. I believe before you can experience joy during a trying time, before you can experience joy, before I can experience joy during a trying time, you've got to understand why we have trials. And my philosophy is not enough. And Dr. Bottlestopper's philosophy is not enough either. We need to hear what the Bible says. And here in the book of James, James, the half-brother of our Lord, tells us why we have trials. Why I have trials, why you have trials. He tells us three reasons. Number one, he said every one of us are going to have trials to test your testimony. To test your testimony. See, as a Christian, tests are coming to your life. And you want to make sure that after the test, you've got a testimony and not just the monies. You want to make sure that after the test, you've got a testimony and not just the monies. Look what verse 3 says. It says, "Knowing this, the trying of your faith worketh patience." And then look at what 1 Peter 1 and 7 said. It says, "The trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perisheth." I want to ask you something, folks. What good is untested love? What good is untested love? Hypothetically, you're on your second or third date. You're in a restaurant. The music's softly playing. The atmosphere's been created. There's candles on the table. The lights are dim. And on that second or third date, the person across from you says, "I love you. I love you." You say, "Pastor, that's real love." No, it's not real love. No, that's not real love. I can tell you. Let me tell you what real love is. Real love's when you've been together about 15 or 20 years and you're walking through hell and somebody says, "I know you're going through a tough time, but I'm not going to leave your side." It's when somebody says, "No matter what comes or what goes, you're my horse. If you never win a race, that's a Bennyism. I'm going to stick by you. I'm going to stick by you no matter what. You're number one in my life. When everybody else walks out, I'm going to walk in. I'm going to be here. I'm going to see you through." That's real love. That's real love. That's real love. Now, here's what I want you to understand. That is tested love. Now, here's what I want to say to you. What good is is untested faith. See, it's the test, ladies and gentlemen, that builds our faith. Now, when I was in school, how many of you were in the top half of your class? How many of you? Well, I was in the part of the class that made you possible. Yes, my report card was C's and D's. And I'd bring the report card home, and my mother would get upset, and she would say, Benny can do better, Benny can do better. I know you can do better. She'd get upset. And my sister many times would step up and say, don't be so hard on Benny. Don't be so hard on Benny. There's a good side to this, Mama. And Melba Jean would say, there's not a good side. What is the good side? And Rhonda would say, at least we know Benny's not cheating. Now, this is what I know about tests. Three quick things. First of all, a good teacher wants you to pass the test. A good teacher wants you to pass the test. I want you to know that the Lord is a good, good Father. And He wants you to pass the test. There's a second thing I want you to know. The teacher is always silent during the test. The teacher wants you to pass the test. The teacher's always silent during the test. There's a third thing I want you to realize. A good teacher tests the students only on information that's been taught. A good teacher tests the students only on information that's been taught. You say, well, Pastor Benny, I'm going through a test. What do you recommend I do? Review the material. Review the material. Let's get on our knees before God. Let's get to know God. Let's get our Bibles open. Let's be faithful to the house of God. Let's get alone somewhere and say, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to empty me of myself, and I need more of your presence, and I need more of your power. Always understand. Always understand. The good teacher only tests the students on information that has been taught. Last weekend, I spent some time with Savannah, my daughter, and I was talking to her about my life, and she said, Daddy, what has sustained you? I said, my faith has sustained me. Why do we go through trials? To test your testimony. There's a second reason why we go through trials. To increase your endurance. To increase your endurance. Now, look what the Bible says. Knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. I really think the new NLT translation is probably better when it says, for you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Now, I try every day of my life to exercise. I'm in the gym. I do a lot of bench press. I lift a lot of weights. You can look at my upper body and tell. I don't lift weights. I'd lift weights if they weren't heavy, but I don't lift them. But years ago, I decided I wanted to get healthy. I decided I just had one body. And think about it, folks. If you had a racehorse worth in excess of $7 million, you wouldn't keep it up all night, feeding it junk food, making it smoke cigarettes and drink booze. Amen? You wouldn't do that to a racehorse. Well, shouldn't we? You've got something more important than a racehorse. That's your body. I'm not picking on anybody. I'm not here. But it was a great day in my life when I learned a balanced diet. It's not a hamburger in each hand. But anyway, I'll move on. But I decided I wanted to get healthy. And I started running. I didn't start running. I started out walking. And then I decided to run, and after a little while, I said, no, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do it. Barbara said, why are you not going to do it? I said, my knees hurt. it hurts my knees. I just can't do it. It hurts my knees. And I was talking to a guy, and I said, you know, I tried that running stuff, and it hurt my knees. So I just decided to quit. And he said, oh, Benny, you got runner's knee. I said, what's runner's knee? He said, well, you've just got to run through that pain. You've got to run through that pain. And, you know, I said, perhaps he's right. And so I run on a treadmill. I'm not going to run on an asphalt. I'm not going to mess my knees up. But I did find he was correct. You've got to run through the pain because it builds endurance. See, somebody said, I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser for all that she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and not a word said she, but oh, the wiser I was when sorrow walked with me. See, why do we have trials? Not my philosophy. You have trials to test your testimony. You have trials to increase your endurance. But then there's a third reason. You have trials to develop your spiritual maturity. You have trials to develop your spiritual maturity. Look what verse 4 says. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. See, there's a verse, Romans 8 and 28 says this. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now keep in mind, there's just two groups of people in the world, those who love God and those who don't. And God said that all things work together for good to them that love God. God's too loving to be unkind. He's too wise to be mistaken. And when we can't trace his hand, we can trust his heart. And what I want to say to you, if it's not good for you today, it will be good. If it's not good for you today, it will be good, because God is working all things for our good. Hold that thought. All things. I heard about two men who grew up together, and one of them became king. And his friend who he grew up with would always say, this is good. No matter what happened, he would say, this is good. And by the way, folks, death and life is in the power of the tongue. He'd always say, this is good. They went out hunting one day, and the friend loaded the king's shotgun. The king shot the shotgun, and he must have misloaded it because it blew off the king's thumb. And the friend said, this is good. And the king said, no, it's not good. You're going to prison. So the guy goes to prison. And he gets to prison, and the guy said, this is good. And the king's out one day by himself, and he's captured by cannibals. And the cannibals decide they're going to eat the king. And they're getting ready to put him on the fire, and they notice the king doesn't have a thumb. And a part of their tribal tradition is they couldn't eat somebody who had a defect. So they said, we can't eat you. We're going to let you go. And the king leaves, and he starts thinking about it. And he says, I've got to go see my friend. I've got to go thank him. And so he goes and sees his friend and says, I want to get you out of prison. And his friend says, everything's good. He said, no, it's not good. You've been in prison a year. And if that had not happened, they would eat me. And his friend said, no, it's all good. He said, King, you don't understand. He said, if I was not in prison, I would have been with you. And the cannibals would have eaten me. So it's all good. Now here's what I want you to know. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And you say, but wait. No, don't stop there, folks. Don't read one verse and stop there. Look at verse 29. Look what it says. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his son. God said, whether you get married or whether you get a divorce. God said, whether you get healed or whether you get sicker. God said, whether you get a promotion or whether you get a demotion. God said, whether it's up, whether it's down, I'm working all things for your good, my glory. I'm conforming you to the image of Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, folks, this name it, claim it, believe it, receive it, health and wealth, blab it and grab it. I've got a Greek word for that, hogwash. You may walk through hell because God is conforming you to the image of His Son. Life can't be all sunshine or the flowers would die. The rivers would be barren, all desert and dry. Life can't be all sunshine or there'd be no use to pray. And I thank you, Lord, for the valley I walked through today. Now wait. Now wait. Say, Pastor, trials are going to come. How should I handle trials? How should I handle trials? Quickly. That's a lie. Listen. Display some joy. Display some joy. Look what he says. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers trials. Count. What does that mean, folks? It means to evaluate. It's an accounting term. What's he saying? He's saying this, folks. When you're going through a trial, this is what you ought to say. God, what are you trying to do in my life? I'm going through a trial. I'm walking through hell. Well, you, Pastor, what do you do when you're walking through hell? Just keep on walking. Just keep on walking. And you say, God, I'm walking through hell. I'm walking through hell. But God, you're doing something in my life. And I'm going to have joy simply because you are doing something in my life. See, get this, folks. Happiness is determined by what happens. I'm in Panama City on vacation. I'm happy. I'm back at work. I'm miserable. Happiness. It determines by what happens. But joy is a decision you make. It's a decision you make. And what I mean, display some joy. God, you're doing something in my life. You're doing something. Look, the best example is Hebrews 12 and 2. Look at this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the what? That was set before him endured the cross. Now wait. He knew the cross was coming. You said, oh, Pastor, he wanted to go to the cross. Get real. He prayed, said, Father, is there any other way? No. But he had joy knowing he was going to the cross. How could he have joy knowing he was going to the cross? Because he knew that after the cross, he would be buried. But he knew on the third day, he would arise triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. And he knew because of that, there would be salvation for you and there would be salvation for me. And that's why he endured the cross. That's why he had joy, because he knew that God was working something. And folks, let me tell you something. We can have joy when we understand. I don't understand everything that's going on, but God, you're doing something in my life. Well, I tell you, I'm going to tell you something. I am buying this CD. Now, there's a second thing that we need to do when we're going through trials. Ask God for wisdom. Now, look what James 1 and 5 says. If any man or woman lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Now, you said, Pastor Benny, so I need to ask God for wisdom. What do I need to ask God? Here's what you need to ask God. Two things you need to ask God. God, what are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to teach me? See, when I was in school, we had a lesson and then we had a test. But in life, you have a test that teaches you a lesson. And what we need to do is say, God, what are you trying to teach me? And then there's a second thing you need to say. You need to pray. God, send somebody to help me. Send somebody to help me. This is what I've learned. Little boy said, Mom, I'm scared tonight. Will you sleep with me? And he said, No. She said, No. I've got to go in here and sleep with Daddy. But Jesus will be with you. And he said, Oh, Mama, I need somebody with skin on. And you know what I know? Sometimes in life we need somebody with skin on. That's why the church is so important. That's why fellowship's so important. That's why we need one another. Oh, folks, let me tell you, that old banana doesn't get skin until it gets away from the bundle. But when that, oh, some of you are slow. I'm sharing these deep theological thoughts and y'all can't even get them. But look what 1 Corinthians 10 says. There's no temptation, there's no trial taking you or me that's not common to man. What's it saying? There's somebody who's been through it. There's somebody who's been through it. You know, somebody can help you through it. What's that song? If you bend over just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. I know the way gets rough and hard, but together we can stand. I know exactly what you're going through. I've been down that same old road. But if you'll bend over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load. There's a third thing that we need to do, folks, when we're going through a trial, and I'm almost done. Give God praise. Give God praise. When you're going through a trial, display some joy. Ask God for wisdom. But give God praise. And he tells us why if you look at verses 9 and 10. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. What does that mean? That means, hey, you may be poor, but there's something to praise God for. There's something. You said, Brother Benny, you don't understand. I can't even pay my bills. Thank God you're not one of your creditors. See, folks, what we need to do, you said, Brother Benny, I don't have a lot of money, but why don't we, instead of focusing on what we don't have, why don't we focus on what we do have? And he said, if you're poor, focus on what God has give you. Folks, by the way, we're all blessed in America. We're all blessed. You're blessed. I'm blessed. And he said, you rejoice, even though you're poor, over what God's blessed you with. But you know what he said? He said, look, but the rich in that he's made low. So what is he saying the rich man's to rejoice? Here's what he's saying. He's saying to that rich man, you know why you ought to rejoice? Because in life you experienced a situation where your debit card wouldn't take care of it. You realize with all your riches won't take care of that wayward child. Your riches won't touch you of that physical problem. Your riches won't handle that problem or that perplexity. All the money that you have will not take care of death. What God's saying, that rich man ought to rejoice because he's reached the point that he realizes his sufficiency's in God. See, folks, there's a blessing. There's a blessing for getting victory through a trial. James 1 and 12 says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he'll receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. So, Pastor Benny, I'm going through a test right now. I'm in the classroom. You know what I know, folks? You don't want to leave that classroom till God has taught you everything that he wants to teach you. Psalms 119, verse 71 says this. It says, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It was good for me that I've been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You know, somebody said, Pastor, do you have problems? I have all kind of problems. Many of them are self-inflicted. I have all kind of problems. I've gone through problems throughout my Christian life. I found the Lord to be faithful. I found the Lord to be very faithful. 30 years ago, I went through one of the most difficult times in my life. One of the most difficult times in my life. Perhaps that's you. And I remember vividly, God gave me a song. And there's no songs without the scripture. No sacred songs anyway. God gave me a song, and I'd listen to this song over and over. This is the song. I've come into a valley, one like I've never been before. I search for a way out. Seems like padlocks are on the doors. Oh, there must be another sunrise, another sunset that I'll see. God will make this trial a blessing. That's the love he has for me. God will make this trial a blessing, though it sends me to my knees. Though my tears flow like a river, yet in him there's sweet relief. There's no need to get discouraged. There's no need to talk defeat. God will make this trial a blessing, and the whole wide world will see. See, I was not the first one to come into this place. You see, every child of God, this test he must face. It is here God will mold you and make you what you ought to be. God will make this trial a blessing. Just be patient and you'll see. Friend, you're going to get on the other side of the trial. You're going to get on the other side. You say, no, Pastor Benny, I don't know. No, things don't come to stay, they come to pass. You're going to get on the other side, I promise you. Is it going to get better, Pastor Benny? I promise you it will. I promise you it's going to get better. Is it going to get easier, Pastor Benny? I promise you it's going to get easier. I promise you. You just hang in there. And you're going to get on the other side. Then you can sing this verse. Now I'm standing on the mountain, looking back, and I can see. When I was in the lowest valley, his strong hand was leading me. Oh, it's good to see the sunshine and taste sweet victory. God has made this trial a blessing. Oh, the grace he gives to me.
Friend, I trust the message today has spoken to your heart. And if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want to challenge you to do that today. It's the greatest decision you'll ever make. And I've often said, it's as simple as ABC. A stands for acknowledge. You've got to acknowledge that you're a sinner. B stands for believe. You've got to believe that Christ and His blood was shed on the cross for your sin. And then C, you simply must confess your sins to Him. I want to encourage you right now to repeat a simple prayer with me. I'll pray the prayer. You repeat it with me if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. But God, I'm sorry for my sin. I'm so sorry, I want to change. I believe that you died for my sin, and I confess my sin to you right now. Come into my heart, Lord, and forgive me of all my sin. Now thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. Thank you for coming in to my life. Amen. Friend, congratulations on the greatest decision that you'll ever make. And I want you to know, this decision is not based on how you feel right now, because God's not a feeling. He's a fact. This decision is based on the fact that you have done what God's Word says you must do to have eternal life. So congratulations on the greatest decision you'll ever make, and thank you for being with us today. God bless you, and we'll see you soon.